chapter 13. Again, thank you for being here. I hope I have something that will be a blessing to you from the Word of God. That's my intent. Someone said, you offended me. I'm going to tell you straight out. I'm going to try my hardest not to offend anybody. But if the Word of God offends you, I'm not going to apologize for the Word of God. So truth offends. Truth divides, and I don't want to do that today. But I'm going to talk to you tonight, or this morning. I might talk tonight, too. If the Lord returns, I'm not going to talk tonight to you here. But I want to talk this morning about cowboy angels. And just, I know that sounds weird, but we are doing a cowboy theme. If you would, chapter 13, the book of Matthew, we're going to start reading verse 40. 7 down through 51 to get started off this morning. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Heavenly Father, help me now. Give us strength and wisdom. Guide in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just to let you know, if you don't know this already, I think myself, this is my own personal opinion, we've seen some things coming over the years that's kind of pointed that the Lord can return anytime. Come on, amen. I remember when I was a young man, one of the weirdest things was that when the two witnesses get killed in the streets, that they leave the two witnesses in the tribulation period, the evil world leaves them in display, and the Bible says the whole world sees them sitting there, their dead bodies lying in the streets. The whole world sees them at one time. Now, in 1973, that's insane. I mean, we couldn't figure that one out because it's not like it is today. Today, I had a preacher friend of mine. We called him Parson Carson. He was in Alaska, and he wanted to reach the Aleut Indians and the Indians way up. So he called a guy, and the guy goes, yeah, I could get you down to this river. So he flew on one of those, I don't know, the puddle jumpers is what I call them. But he flew on one of them small planes that have the places, the floaters on them, and they landed on the river. He got out. He flew for 4 hours, landed on the river, got on a canoe, went down river 2 days, camped on the side of the river for 2 days. After they got out of the river, they got out some snowboard or snowmobiles and went 2 days in the woods on these snowmobiles, hiked the last day. So a week later, they end up coming to this remote place in Alaska, and they see these metal buildings built out of scraps off the ocean. And he walks up, knocks on the door, and before he knocks on the door, he looks up, and he's got an antenna up there, and the guy has Wi-Fi. You're kidding me. Come on, amen. That's today. Today we look at it, we go, yeah, you're right. Everybody in the world can see at the same time a dead body. Man, we're finding information, boom, boom, boom. The problem is now you got to figure out if it's truth or not. It may be AI. It may be fake stuff. I mean, you may one day see a picture of me that I look good. So that's called AI. That's not truth. Amen. I'm saying it's going to happen. Come on. Then COVID came around. You remember when they used to say one world government? And we used to say, yeah, sure, United States is going to bow to the world. It happened. Americans are going to allow the government to tell them what to wear. That ain't going to happen, I said. Not in my lifetime. And I saw grown men in their 60s and 70s walking around with a mask on and chewing me out because I didn't have a mask on. And I'm sitting there going, I praise the Lord. They said the ones that rebelled the most during COVID were male white men above 60. Why? Because we fought for our rights. Amen. You're not going to tell us what to wear. Amen. I mean, our wives have enough hard time doing that. We're not going to bow to government. But hey, what do we have? Vanuatu. We support a missionary in Vanuatu. I didn't even know where Vanuatu was. And the guy goes, you know where the Philippines is? Yeah, you see that dot right there? It says, give me a magnifying glass. And I had one of them big maps. And I saw a dot there. He goes, that's Vanuatu. In Vanuatu, COVID hit. And they had a social distance and wear a mask in Vanuatu. Come on, amen. I'm going to tell you, if I pass gas today, they're not going to shut down Vanuatu. But I tell you, you have something going on in China, and all of a sudden it shuts down the whole world. Why? One world government's going to come, folks. It's showing it was. Listen, what I'm telling you, you may be here today, please pay attention. I know some of you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you died right now, you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or hell. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's showing. The things around this world is showing me, and it should be showing you, the Lord's going to come back soon. You have a decision to make very quickly. Come on. Christians, amen. The Lord's coming back soon, and the kingdom of heaven is going to be here. Right now, we are getting inhabitants for the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're doing. We're winning people to Jesus so they can enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it's going to happen. So the angels are going to be used as cowboys to round them up. Now, right here, they use a net instead of a lasso. They used some other things, and I found three places in the Bible where the angels and God came in and made a division. Now, the thing is, I got all these in three questions. So you got to answer these questions. Listen, you got to answer them now, because once the angels get here, it's over. So you got to remember, the first question is what kind are you? Come on, amen? Bad or good? Now, listen to me. There is none righteous. No, not one. Listen to me very carefully. Christians need to hear this too. Christians, that was written to Christians. Christians, without Christ, we are bad. With Christ, we have righteousness, and we can live a good life. But if you try to live your life without Christ as a Christian, you're going to do bad. You're going to be bad. You need Christ to help you out. Amen? So Christians, we are good because of Christ in us, not us. In us, there's no good. Amen? I can prove it to you. Get on the road, I'll get in front of you and slow down. I'll turn my turn signal line and on and wait until 2027 actually to take the right turn. Have you seen them cars? And I'll go behind them and flip them and honk the horn. And they're just going... and turn left. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you. So none of us are good. So don't go. I had someone say, oh, you think you're better than me. They don't like Christians because the Christians think they're better than them. Nobody's good. The only thing that's good is that we have Christ. And so the only thing that makes us good is that if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you're good. According to him, you're good now. Because he says, I'm going to stand with you and you're going to be without sin. So the first thing is the bad. They're still lost in their sins. You haven't had your sins forgiven. Now listen, your sins have been paid for, but that doesn't mean they've been forgiven. Does that make sense? They get forgiven when you ask him to forgive you. We live in a day and age where we even make this statement. Oh, they know I'm sorry. How do they know you're sorry? If you don't say it, tell them you're sorry. They don't know you're sorry. I tell you one thing, and we need to stop doing is assuming things. Listen, I've had people say, well, God will forgive me. He will when you ask him to. But there's still these bad, right here it says right here, these bad fish, they're gathering all the people together, and they go, hey, some are bad and some are good. We're going to keep the good and throw away the bad. Because they are still have their sins on them. All of us have caught fish. I will keep the bass, I'll keep the crappie, I'll keep the catfish, the bluegill, the sun perch, and some trout. But that salmon's going. I don't like salmon. So that salmon's going. That's a bad fish for me. And if it's a carp, that carp is given away fast. I don't throw away fish, but carp and salmon I will give away or throw away. I'll keep the rest of them because that's considered bad or good. Come on, amen? And everybody has a bad or good. But, well, God, it's do you know my son or do you not know my son? Have you had your sins forgiven or you don't? A bad person is still hanging on to their self-righteousness. They sit out there. I've seen it. Listen, some of you are doing it now. You'll sit out there and what you'll do, you'll start talking about other things in life. Sometimes you'll even get up and leave. Sometimes you'll say, man, that preacher needs to quit yelling at me. We find ways to argue ourselves that we're good enough. Listen, when you get to the point where you say, hey, without Jesus, I'm going to be thrown away as bad. And he's coming to get me. And he wants to take me to heaven. But if I'm not one of his, he's going to cast me out. And what I'm asking you is, please think about it now. Don't wait until he comes. It's too late. My best friend said, I'll just wait until right before I die and I'll get saved. As if Christianity was a bad thing. Man, peace that passeth all understanding. Whoa. An understanding that you go to heaven if you die. No fear. You know, I'm not afraid of dying. I was up 50 feet one day and got blown off the roof and landed on my... I landed on the ground, got up and went back up, and the guy looks at me like, are you crazy? Aren't you afraid to die? It goes, no, surviving. You know, you hit that again, you may get all busted up. I don't want to be busted up. Hey, still following the gods of the sinful world, the gods of pleasure, the gods of I can do what I want. Well, I can, as a Christian, do what I want. You know what I chose to do as a Christian? Good. I have the choice of doing good, and I can do it now. Before I got saved, I didn't have that choice. Number two, not only the bad, but the good. The good, the ones that repented of their sins. We have pastors today that preach this, no, repentance is not needed. Go if you would with me to Acts. I want to show you this. Acts chapter 17, the book of Acts. This is important for you to see because you'll hear some preachers preach this. And it's a false preaching. Acts chapter 17. If you would with me, look down at verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to believe. To confess. To call upon. No, it says to what? Repent. What? He's saying he's calling everybody everywhere to repent. Even the Old Testament, he uses a word, different word than repent. He uses the word phrase, turn ye. And that's what repentance means, turning about. You're going on your sinful path and the Lord says, hey, stop! I'm coming with a net. I'm going to cast this net out. I'm going to pull in everybody. Nobody's going to escape. Everybody in the world is going to get pulled in. And I'm going to have the angels separate them. Good and bad. Got to ask, which one are you? The good ones are the ones who repented of the sins. The ones that rely on the Savior to forgive their sins. I'm not relying on my goodness. Oh, my. Anybody ever been like me? You start reading the Bible and you find out, ooh, I'm not too good. Come on, amen. Some of the things you should be doing, you're not. Some of the things you shouldn't be doing, you are. And you go, whoa. And then, or I don't know about you, there's been times I read the Bible and go, oh, I'm in trouble. Rely on the Savior for forgiveness. We are redeemed by the Son of God. We're not redeemed by our own works of righteousness. I was telling the folks at Elwha that I'm going to write a letter, and I told my wife, I need to write a letter to the president because he made a comment that he hopes he can buy his way into heaven. I thought, whoa. Now, someone came up to me after service and said, I heard him say he accepted the Christ as his Savior. If he did, amen. But he's got some bad teaching in there somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere, I need to write him a letter and tell him, man, if you're trying to get redeemed by your good works, you're going to be working forever. Because the only way to pay for your own sins, the only way that you can take care of your sins is spending eternity in the lake of fire to pay a debt that's already been paid. That's called stupid. In Missouri, we'd say tarted. That's tarted, amen? And so the good. Okay, let's see the next one. Chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. You and Matt, go back to Matthew. This time look at chapter 25. We'll see two of them in chapter 25. So these angels, these cowboy angels, first of all, what kind are you? You need to ask yourself, because they're going to separate you according to the kind. The second thing, if you would please, in verse 1 it says, "This then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the virgins, 10 virgins which took their lamps and went to forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. When the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." That's where we're at now. This is called the age of the Laodicean church, a church that's asleep, thinks it's okay, lukewarm. That's where we're at. Amen? We're at that right there. Okay, let's keep reading. "At midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh.'" So someone told me years ago, "See, the Lord's coming at midnight." When? What day? Where at midnight? Because it's different places. Amen? "And behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, which are a virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Listen, I can't tell you when he's going to come. Some of you here again don't know Jesus as your Savior. He could come today. He could not come in 100 years, but he could come today. I don't know. Signs are pointing that it's going to be soon. When, I don't know. But the Lord's going to come again. I'll tell you another thing. Maybe the Lord might not come, but I guarantee you one thing's going to happen in your lifetime. You're going to die. Just like I'm going to die. I've been close to death a few times, and I know how it feels. You could die. And don't sit there and say, "Well, I'm young." My brother was 40. One of my best friend's daughter was 5. I lost 2 or 3 grandchildren, from 1 stillborn and 2 in the womb. You could die anytime. Come on, amen. A 7-year-old boy down in downtown Kansas City, just down the street from a house I was working in, came home one day from school early, and his dad thought he was a drug dealer and shot his own son to death through the door. Didn't know it was his son. You could die anytime. You say, "You're trying to scare..." Man, I hope I scare each and every one of you straight into heaven. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Straight into the door. And that's the next one. Which side are you on? Not which side, Jesus. Which side of the door are you going to be on? The door is going to shut. The Bible says that it's the door that no one can open and no one can shut but him. He's the only one that could shut or open that door. And I'm hoping that you're on the right side of the door. Come on, amen. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, that's down there later. I'll go to that later. But the Bible does say that he is the one that shuts it and no one can open it. So we see two. First of all, the foolish. Now, let's be honest. If there's a fire in this building, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the door. Amen? When anybody starts leaving, now praise the Lord, fire marshal came in and says, "This is a well-built building." I said, "Thank you." He says, "You got more exits than you need. And they're all big exits. You could get out." Amen. Getting in sometimes is tough, but getting out is okay. But when there's a fire in here, which side of the door do you want to be? You want to be out there. You don't be in here. Come on, amen. When the Lord comes again and gathers up his people, says, "Come on in." And then he shuts the door. What side of the door you want to be on? Now, I don't know about you. One side's hot, one side's not. One side's heaven, and one side's the lake of fire. I don't know about you. That's an easy choice. Come on, amen? It's a pretty easy choice. I will pick heaven before I pick the lake of fire. Now you go, well, preacher, I don't believe it. Well, find out now. Because one of these days, Christian, if you're on that side, amen, the foolish are on the outside. They're not prepared. We prepare for everything. We have insurance on everything. I have people ask me if I want to buy insurance all the time. You know, when I didn't have any money, nobody wanted me to buy anything. But now that the church is doing good, everybody's calling me to sell something. They got insurance on everything. They got what they call liability. If our church goes anywhere and has an activity, we have liability insurance in case somebody sues us because they're stupid enough to fall down. And they get hurt and they're going to blame the church. That's crazy. Why anybody would sue a church for their silliness is wrong. Amen? But we get prepared for everything. We prepare for today. Some of you wore exactly the same clothes you wear all the time. Others, you tried to dress up like cowboys. Did you hear me say try? And I had someone say, well, I'm a Forks cowboy. I guess I see some Squim cowboys, and I see some, I don't see any New York cowboys, California cowboys. But listen, hey, you came prepared for it. Am I right? All of you are dressed, thank you. But you prepared to come here. We prepare for retirement. I have a preacher friend of mine. He's my age. He said, preacher, how'd you take care of you seem to be well financially set. And I told him what we did. He goes, man, I wish I would have done that when I was young. He said, I'm stupid. I'm 66 years of age and I have to go get a full-time job as a pastor. Pastor and full-time job. I work because I get a pay. I don't work to get a pay. Church takes care of me as a pastor, so I work. Yeah, more than just pastoring. Why? Because I'm that kind of man. Just everybody's different. They're not purchased the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. They didn't take the blood. They didn't go after that purchase of the salvation of Jesus Christ. How do I get that? Well, there's only one way to pay for it. Ask Him to save you. Not propagated by the Lamb of God. They're foolish. But the wise, they made the decision before He came. I could right now ask when you got saved, and all of you would raise your hand. 1979, 1980, 2020. You just have different dates. Amen. 1825. That's Anne's. We have different dates. You know, come on, amen. And you knew when you accepted Christ. Why? You were wise. You said, hold on a second. I didn't create myself. I didn't get here on my own. I get a kick how we think that we planned. Listen, you, if you planned what I'm seeing, you messed up. Come on. In my best physical appearance when I was about 19 to 30, I looked pretty good, but I had flaws. One of them was I was 5'8". I wanted to be 6'4". I missed it. Because why? I didn't make this height. He did. Come on, amen? He made this height. Now, after He made this shape, I had to take care of it. And some people aren't taking care of what God gave them. But I'm going to tell you what. You did that look. That I saw a girl the other day. She had black hair. I said, is that your natural? She goes, it is not my natural hair color. She said, I haven't had my natural hair color since I was 12. So she's in her 20s. I said, why'd you color it when you was 12? Oh, I had friends that didn't like the color of my hair. Tell them to stick it in their ear. Who cares what your friends like? But we do that kind of stuff when we're kids. We'd be silly. Come on, amen? You didn't make you. How do you think you're going to get eternal life? You didn't even make your life. The only way to get eternal life is ask the Heavenly Father to take the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and combine it with the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the heart to where faith comes. Ask God to prove Himself to you. He'll do it. He'll show you He is real. You got to be wise. The wise made the decision. They managed their time well before He called them home. Yeah, the marriage of the Lamb was His most important event in His mind. ready to go. Even when he was asleep, ready to go. So let's see the last one, verse 31, if you would, please, of the same chapter. Verse 31. These cowboy angels are busy. They came and they looked for what kind. They cut the door, rounded them up, and got them in the door. Which side? Last one, whose are you? Whose are you? Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided His sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture. I started to quote it, but I'm going to read it because I want to make sure I quote it right. So when you want to read it later, you can read it yourself. This is, to me, one of the most hilarious verses in the Bible. Tom Hall showed me about the baser sort. That was kind of funny. Listen to this one. A wise man's heart is on his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. I think it's funny that we have the right and the left in politics. Explains a lot, doesn't it? But I always thought that was a kind of an interesting statement. So the Bible says He's going to set the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. Now, if I read my Bible, He calls His people His sheep. And He's the shepherd. So whose are you? Are you a goat? Now, there's a road over here called Goat Lane. Old Goat Lane. So there's an old goat over there. Maybe there's a young sheep down the other way. I don't know. But we need to ask ourselves, who are we? The Bible says, and you could turn there if you want to, 1 Thessalonians. Listen to this, if you would, please. The Bible says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, all God's people said, amen. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. So he's talking about the last days. One of these days the Lord's going to come, and those in Christ, the sheep, will go to heaven. The goats will stay down. Again, whose are you? Are you a goat, one that does not know Christ as their Savior, does not claim Jesus Christ as their Savior, is not sure that you're saved? You'll be left. You'll be set on the left. On the right will be the sheep. According to the Scriptures, that's the wise and the unwise, the foolish. One day the Lord is going to break that eastern sky with a shout and we, which are in Christ. Now, man, get that. In Christ. I had someone say the church is going to rise. Well, first of all, I don't believe everybody in the churches today are saved. So the Bible says, I'm going to make this clear. I'm not talking about church right now. I'm talking about bringing my kids home. And that's those in Christ, the body of believers, as well as the family of God. So you got both of them. You got the church, the body of believers, but you also got the family of God, which includes everybody. Amen? You can get in that argument with me later. We're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to go directly to the Christian judgment seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and receive a reward for the works done in our bodies while here on this earth. Those who do not go will spend 7 years on this earth and actually see what you would call hell on earth. This world's going to go into convulsions. Anybody ever seen this? You get a bunch of rowdy kids in one spot with no direction, what happens? Things get tore up. Can you imagine this world without any Christians? Not one. No Christians. It's going to be a mess in this world. The Bible says, if my children do not praise me, the stones will cry out. Well, there'll be no Christians here to praise God. So the hills and the trees and the valleys and the rocks are going to start crying out. And it's going to be a destruction on this earth. They're going to be rewarded according to their works as well. And that's not a good thing. But we will be going to heaven. Then straight to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And our Savior will serve us. What a blessing. After 7 years, we will saddle our horses. So the Bible says, and they're all going to be white. No choice of color. Kind of like Henry Ford. You can have any car you want as long as it's black. In heaven, you can have any horse you want as long as it's white. God's not prejudiced. He's pure. I'm going to make though their sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I'm going to make them white. We'll be wearing a white robes, and the Son of God's going to be leading the way. Amen. We're going to be heading to a place called Armageddon. That's not a battle. That's a place. The Valley of Jehoshaphat. We're going to be heading there. There's going to be a fight between us and the enemies of God. We won't be able to have to do anything but ride our horses and shout. Put our sword in our scabbard. We won't even have to swing them. He's going to speak a word and destroy them all. He's going to set up his kingdom. What side are you on? What kind are you? Whose are you? That's the question we need to ask. When these angels come, that's how they're going to divide them. Which side are you on? I believe that we should get on the right side, the side of our Lord. I'm not talking politics, I'm talking eternity. Get on the Lord's side. I'm going to tell you, you don't know Jesus, you're missing out. We have a great God and a great Savior. Let's bow our heads if you would, please.